Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley. And Katie, this is one of my favorite episodes of the month. It is the Supply Chain Now radio show.
It is. It is time for Supply Chain Now radio, sponsored by Apex Atlanta and Talent Stream. Broadcasting live from the supply chain capital of the East Coast, Atlanta, Georgia, Supply Chain Now Radio spotlights the best in all things supply chain. The people, the companies, the technologies, the best practices, and the critical issues of the day.
Well, we're going to kick off the show with my co-host, Scott Luden. And Scott's with Apex Atlanta. He's with TalentStream. And would you name like five other things?
I sure did.
That?
I sure did. We are wearing our Supply Chain Now radio badge very proudly this morning. We've got another great show lined up.
And the show is really, we're on episode 10 now. And then the number of downloads has been, we're approaching, what, 300,000 downloads?
Absolutely.
You keep track of that because you're a supply chain person. You're good at math.
We do. We keep a PowerPoint slide above my bed that my wife's not really happy about. But yeah, we look at that. But on a serious note, we're really pleased to put content out in the supply chain space that's resonating with folks.
And today's show, you got a room full of people. They're coming with handlers. You got paparazzi. You got a whole crew now.
That's right. Well, we continue the theme of focusing and spotlighting the best and the brightest in supply chain. And today's show is going to continue that theme. So this morning, we have John Slanger up, Chairman and CEO at American Global Logistics. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
We are going to feature Trey Clausen, Director of Customer Solutions at Flexport.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Trey. And finally, our cleanup hitter, which we're lucky to have just about every month, Elba Perea Gallagher, founder of Show Me 50 and chair of the Apex Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning, Elba.
Good morning.
So, Lee.
Yes.
Where do we normally start on this?
Anything new in supply chain?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. So we're gonna tackle top things to know in supply chain now, like we do with each and every show. Today we have four items that we're gonna be tackling. Lee always gives me a hard time. Sometimes it's four.
Back in the day, it was five.
There we go.
Just so you know.
We're getting lean. Mm-hmm. All right. So talking about the top things to know in supply chain now, we're going to lead off. Technology is always a key theme on this radio show. I got a feeling we're going to talk about it a good bit today. First topic and top things to know in supply chain now, we're going to talk about supply chain sensors. Sensors continue to be more prevalent, practical, and inexpensive out in the industry. According to the Wall Street Journal, clothing retailer L.L. Bean, anybody's got a L.L. Bean jacket or book bag?
Mm-hmm.
Couple hands. And, Mr. or Miss Bean will be happy. We got some customers here. L.L. Bean's going to be using the Internet of Things, IoT, and blockchain in special lines of outdoor coats and boots to get a better feel for how customers use the products. These two hot technologies are going to be combined to gather data such as temperature, as Trey was talking about in our warm-up session, how often the item is used, and the frequency of laundering. The primary aim of the program, according to L.L. Bean, is to be able to improve the design of these products based on actual data rather than the assumptions we all make from time to time, or maybe every hour. So really fascinating to see that level of application of truly supply chain sensors out on the products, gathering data as customers use the products.
Now, how are they kind of integrated into the product?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I will leave that to the tech folks and experts
you don't know.
In the room.
You just threw that out there.
That's right. But I think the neat thing for me, the neat takeaway is, for a while, supply chain sensors, they were finding a tough way to get adopted in the industry from a cost perspective, from a practicality perspective, from a different type of technology perspective. But clearly, this is an example where it's cutting through the noise, and L.L. Bean is going to be making some very nice design changes and innovation based on exactly how the customers use
right.
the product.
Because the technology must be getting smaller and more flexible so they can integrate it into the product in a
That's
less
right.
obtrusive manner.
Yep. Much more inexpensive too. So in particular, moving on to number two, one segment of the supply chain where sensors are hot is in our seaports. So you're going to see, you see sensors applied to many of the containers for transparent visibility, tracking, and security. One of the key pistons, as we all know, in our robust Georgia economic development engine is the Port of Savannah, which continues to drive growth locally and regionally. So one of the top things to know, in finalized numbers for 2017, the Port of Savannah handled more than 4 million TEUs, which is an increase of 11% over 2016, which is a big year. And that 2017 figure is the highest annual volume ever. And I bet they'll top it again in 2018.
Wow.
So the port, big reason why Georgia is the number one state to do business in 5 years in a row now. So moving on, number three, of course, you know, we need truck drivers to get all these goods from the port up into Georgia and up through the greater Southeast and across the country. We all know about the truck driver shortage that exists. According to DAT Solutions, at the start of this year, just one truck was available for every 12 loads needing to be shipped. It's remarkable. So how are firms getting creative with finding and hiring more drivers? Well, in what's not going to be a silver bullet, but, you know, of course, they're trying to pay more, right? And some firms are even starting to pay drivers by the hour rather than by the mile. That's what I think my kids won't be paid by their chores, how long it takes them versus the chore itself. But really, you're getting creative, and we're going to have to because mm-hmm. we're so many drivers behind what's needed. I think the latest statistic I saw was the industry is short 900,000 drivers, which is amazing here. So we'll see how this critical challenge continues to play out in the months ahead. So finally, speaking of workforce, of course, truck drivers are a critical part of supply chain workforce that makes things happen. We all know we need more talent to meet demand in the end-to-end supply chain. Elba and I were talking, the group was talking about that in their warm-up session. So what is one particular segment of the workforce that can help address the talent shortage? I would argue, and a lot of folks argue, the veteran community. So according to JP Morgan Chase, 200,000 military members transition out of the service each year. I'm here to tell you that many of those transitions are very difficult for veterans, despite how experienced, talented, and capable these brave men and women are. In one development, so one of the ways we're trying to address that here in Atlanta, we're helping to get veterans out to the Georgia Logistics Summit and MODEX in April. So I know every hand is going to go up in this room when I've asked, you know, who's heard of the Georgia Logistics Summit and MODEX. From April 9th to the 12th, close to 45,000 supply chain professionals will descend on Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center for one of the largest industry gatherings of the year, where Restaurant Row and hotel folks are really happy, right?
Yeah, full house.
Full house. So prime opportunity. This 4-day event is going to be a prime opportunity for veterans to get out and meet industry professionals to grow their network by making in-person connections, chat possible job and business opportunities, and really plug into the supply chain capital that Atlanta is. So I'm real proud to announce this. The summit's executive committee is leading an effort to send at least 100 veterans to the summit on a complimentary basis. So the state of Georgia has already discounted registration for veterans from $150 to $75 per ticket. But right now, we've already raised, and this initiative is about less than 2 weeks old, we've raised enough funds to send almost 60 veterans to the summit on a free basis. Now, MODEX is free to attend, but you know the summit is that localized, you know, 1,500 supply chain professional aspect of this whole week-long event. So we're going to hit at least 100, and want to give a quick shout out to our early sponsors here, Paige Sipline, Team One Logistics, Greg White and the Kuro Global team, Daryl Penn and the C.H. Robinson team, John Haber and the Spend Management Experts team, and of course, TalentStream chipped in as well to so far send at least 60. So what's also really neat about this is we're working on possible value-added activities at the Summit for Veterans, including offering a certification program where they might be able to walk away from the summit with a credential that companies like Amazon highly value. So talking about, you know, making that link and hopefully creating some job opportunities. We're also looking at setting up exclusive networking meet and greets at the summit with Fortune 100 companies committed to hiring veterans, which is really important. So we're trying to get them out and then trying to get them plugged in and trying to really give them as much of a tangible deliverable on that experience as we can. So good stuff indeed. In the bigger picture, though, as part of this effort, we want to put a big spotlight on the challenges that veterans are facing in their transition. I think a lot of hiring managers, a lot of companies, despite all the great things, all the great companies out there that have made the commitment to hire veterans, a lot of folks still shy away. You know, we were at a meeting yesterday where at the American Red Cross, where a National Guard and Reserve representative really talked about how many companies shy away from hiring that segment of the military community. So lots of challenges. So as part of the bigger picture, we want to put a spotlight on that. You know, we want them to know about Luis in Savannah, who we spoke to a couple weeks ago. He retired from the military in May of last year after 22 years of service. Yet despite all of this incredible experience, he's still struggling to find a solid opportunity. That's not good enough. you know, we want the business leadership community to know about Stephanie. We heard about, she's a combat veteran. We heard speak at the BEO Gala last Saturday night. Prior to obtaining shelter and resources at VEO campus, because VEO brought Stephanie in, Stephanie and her son were relying on McDonald's bathrooms for their personal hygiene and bathing needs. And she's a decorated combat veteran. That is unacceptable. We've got to do better. Supply chain makes it happen, and we're going to move the needle. So to our audience, if you're interested in helping our effort, or if you're a veteran looking to attend the summit, you know, reach out to us at info@apixatlanta.org, info@apixatlanta.org, and we will get you plugged in.
Now, how are you identifying these veterans? Like, where are you looking to find them?
That's a great question. We're open to each and every veteran that wants to come out to the summit, and we're going to try to find funding for each and every veteran that wants to come out. You know, one of the challenges I know we have is making veterans, you know, and I'm a veteran, making them aware of the opportunity that the summit is, especially for veterans looking to transition successfully into end-to-end supply chain roles. So that's a challenge. We're using social media, we're using our network, our industry associations.
Are you partnering with some of the veteran associations like Vetlanta?
Great question. Yeah, Vetlanta, the group that was at the American Red Cross yesterday represented about 12 or 13 different institutions or government agencies that take care of veterans. We're putting the word out there. We're really, if you're a veteran that wants to make connections in the supply chain world, we're trying to get them out.
Right. You're offering this to 60 to 100 veterans. There's thousands of veterans.
That's right.
That are out there.
And if 1,000 veterans sign up, we're going to find funding for 1,000 veterans. All right. Yep. So great question. I appreciate you sharing that. But we are not being selective, and regardless what service, what you did in the military, if you want to make connections in supply chain, we want to get you out to the summit. So good questions, Lee. Okay. So we have got quite a lineup today, and we're leading off with a leader in industry. So today on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're very pleased to have a gentleman who has tremendous experience in logistics and supply chain, Mr. John Slangerup, the chairman and CEO of American Global Logistics. Good morning again, John.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. So John was appointed, a little background about John. John was appointed executive chairman and chief executive officer in July 2017 with AGL. But prior to that, John was the CEO of the Port of Long Beach, an incredible port there on the West Coast, and also had a distinguished career with FedEx, where he advanced to become president of FedEx Atlanta. So welcome again, John. For those who aren't familiar, can you tell us more about American Global Logistics?
Yes, it's great to be here. And American Global Logistics, or AGL, as we're often referred to, is a very fast-growing company based here in Atlanta. We've been in business now 11 years and have grown to become a real prominent player in the overall logistics space. Our two core, I think, value propositions we bring to the marketplace first is our technology platform, which is a cloud-based solution that provides end-to-end visibility, all the things that, you know, our customers have become reliant on in optimizing their supply chains, everything from, you know, managing their fleets to managing their workflows. And the unique thing about it is this is not a solution that we have a single version of and we apply it to our customers' supply chains. It's in fact a purpose-built system.
Very customized.
Very well, it's adaptable and it's configured based on the workflow requirements of our customers. So they don't have to adapt their businesses to run on our system. In fact, it's just the opposite is true. And that has been a very, very successful approach to really addressing unique needs within each complex supply chain. So we find it very, very compelling for our customers. We find the opportunity to reduce costs, which is really the key of applying technology to supply chain, is really the answer. The other thing that we do that I think is very, very, very well received within our industry is the fact that we're a one-stop shop. We assign a professional operations manager for every one of our customers. So they have a gatekeeper into AGL. Whenever there's an issue, there's one person to call 24/7. And it makes an enormous difference in problem solving. So the combination of the technology-enabled, you know, work that we do, coupled with these professional logistics folks that run the show and serve the customer on an individual basis, it's a very powerful combination.
So going beyond the 3PL value proposition, you're truly a 4PL.
Well, we started out as a 3PL, and that's still a very significant part of our business. We obviously facilitate the movement of goods from end to end, from origin to destination. But as technology has evolved and as our platform has become more and more robust, it has taken us into this 4PL world, which is really managing the supply chain on behalf of our customers and effectively managing the activities of their 3PLs. And so that's what 4PLs do, as you know. And we have the fastest, tremendous fast growing segment of our business is 4PL type work. And the applications we've added to the platform really enable that on behalf of our customers.
Mm. And the you're talking about the adaptability and the flexibility that your solution provides your customers. That's a good thing to have in supply chain and the ever-changing world, you know, hour by hour, sometimes minute by minute.
Yeah, well, you couldn't have a more dynamic environment than trying to manage supply chains. And everybody's supply chain is unique.
Mm.
And everyone is trying to find ways to create that level of visibility to manage things from the through the entire process. You know, it's interesting. You were talking about the Georgia
Logistics Summit.
Yep. The Logistics Summit, which we're going to be presenting at. We're co-presenting with one of our customers from Igloo, which is has a great company, big complex supply chain. And Carolyn Glenn, who is their head of logistics, also a veteran.
Mm.
You should note that.
Yeah, definitely.
Carolyn's going to be co-presenting with us, and she's done a remarkable job of modernizing their supply chain. Of course, it runs on our system, and we provide an awful lot of both the 3PL and the 4PL support for that company. So it'll be a good example at your conference there as to how these things come together.
Well, you know, when we finalized your appearance at the Georgia Logistics Summit, that was a good get, right? A lot of your background, a lot of your leadership perspective that you shared in the warm-up session, I think is going to be intriguing to the 1,500 or so attendees at the summit. And everyone, just like everyone here, has an L.L. Bean book bag, or their kids do, I promise you. Everyone's got an Igloo cooler. And Igloo just celebrated their 70th year of operation. So
amazing.
When you talk about modernizing a supply chain, that was probably no small feat.
It was one of their you know, five core strategic initiatives, and they've done a remarkable job of it.
So at the Georgia Logistics Summit, which, gosh, that's going to be another major theme today, Lee, we're going to talk to the good folks down there. So you're going to be on the challenges in the logistics workforce panel, and where they're going to be tapping into your experience building highly capable workforces. So can you give us an example about how AGL is helping the Igloo business and the company, and how are you helping them move forward?
And one of the things that, you know, Igloo is an example of the way we approach every customer. But what the customer wants is one to identify all of the gaps or the inefficiencies within the supply chain. I refer to it as the handoff points. Every handoff point, and there's numerous ones within any complex supply chain, that's where the money is spent or saved. And if you can really focus on those handoff points with your technology solutions, and particularly providing, you know, proactive visibility into that, so instead of reacting all the time to bad things that always happen in supply chain management, you're really dealing with a proactive opportunity because you're seeing it happen or you're seeing it as it happens, and you're able to jump on the problem immediately. And that's really what the technology of today is beginning to enable. And of course, taken full to its fullest extent, you're going to be able to really start to predict when these things start to happen. There'll be patterns. There'll be, you know, and the technology of today is beginning to emerge in that way, where we can predict and analyze the solutions as they occur or even anticipate them occurring.
Now, can you talk a little bit about your time when you were running the port there in Long Beach? How does that inform your work today? Does that give you a different perspective than other leaders in this field because you got to see kind of the process from a different angle?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, when I joined the port, I'd spent a career at FedEx. And so when you think about, you know, the UPSs of the world and the FedExes of the world that have built these incredible systems, the common theme in those systems is custodial control. They first, you know, built a system to manage the flow of goods end to end for their customers where they controlled all the elements of the physical move. We call that custodial control. Well, as it evolved, and FedEx in the mid-80s invented something called tracking and tracing, which revolutionized the shipping industry at that time. That's a long time ago. But it became referred to as custodial control of information. And so fast forward many, many decades, we're looking now at our complex supply chains within transportation as really trying to grab on and capture custodial control of information. And that's, you know, Flexport's doing a great job at that. A lot of the companies that have emerged around this technology gap is really where the business is moving. Hmm. AGL, of course, has been there working on that for a long time. But the bottom line is we're trying to achieve this custodial control of information end to end. What I found fascinating at the port was while there's a tremendous amount of information, it was all siloed. And that's not uncommon. Mm-hmm. The siloing of information and the unwillingness to share information is going to be the big challenge in our industry. I think, the highly distributed nature of supply chains and the kind of the siloed version of technology, where some is shared, some is not. The big core issue that I came across in trying to manage a process, we called it supply chain optimization, it became a national initiative. Mm. But what we tried to do was break down the barriers for sharing information. And it was not technology that was the barrier. It was the reluctance of people.
It was humans.
Humans not wanting to share. And I can tell you why. They did not want to reveal their proprietary information. They did not want to reveal their customer information. They did not want to reveal pricing. They did not want to reveal things. And the great fear is that by sharing this information, they would be compromised and they would lose their competitive advantage. And that's a common issue across all players in the supply chain. And so in this particular example at the port, it's repeated everywhere in the entire port world, is you've got lots of information not being adequately shared, and those handoff points where information has to be handed off along with the physical goods, that's where the breakdowns occur.
But isn't that also where opportunity can occur?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that when you look at the scale, the economic scale of what we're talking about, we're talking about trillions of dollars of goods being moved. We're talking about the potential of saving over $1 trillion in cost if you across the entire system. This is a massive amount of money. So in my view, this is what the exciting opportunity for our industry is really tackling the systems, tackling the integration of those systems, tackling the actual sharing of information, and things like blockchain, hold promise that they might reduce some of that fear about sharing proprietary information. And that's why we're part of this BITA group, this blockchain in transportation alliance. Because in our view, if we can in fact harness something like blockchain for our applications in this industry, then it'll break down those barriers or break down the fears and so forth. And then the sharing of information will be so much more fluid.
So let's talk about a couple things there. John, you mentioned BITA, and one of the things one of the reasons we were excited to have you here today was because AGL recently announced your membership in that Blockchain of Transport Alliance, which is what BITA stands for. Mm-hmm. So explain to our listeners, talk more about what supply chain, what blockchain can do for supply chain.
Well, blockchain was developed as a technology really for the movement of financial information, particularly around cyber currency. And of course, the big question is, can that same technology be adapted to the sharing of proprietary information across complex supply chains? And of course, arguably, it should be. We joined BITA because, we refuse to be left behind. You need to be part of the group that's influencing the standards and everything else that has to be accepted and adapted to across the entire supply chain. So we're there because we're not sure. A lot of people talk very affirmatively. I talk affirmatively about it, but we're not sure that it's going to be adapted. But I can tell you something like it will be, because the whole notion of custodial control of information and the safe movement of that data, that digital data, is critical to the cost reduction of the supply chains across the world. Mm. And without it, to me, we're going to stay stuck in these silo environments until we manage through that process.
So speaking of a hot space, hot segment within the Indian supply chain world, air cargo. So I know AGL is involved with air cargo with your customers. So can you talk more about not Captain Crunch, but capacity crunch that we've heard so much about this year?
Yeah, well, the air freight side of things have been very, very, it's been very challenging. I mean, just, the ocean freight side of things has the opposite problem with too much capacity and very low prices. The opposite is true with air freight, and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. E-commerce is driving a tremendous focus or tremendous need for, rapid movement of goods. And so while, a lot of people were well prepared for it, they weren't as prepared as they thought in terms of physical capacity. So yeah, it's been a challenge. I think it'll resolve itself. Obviously, it always does over time. People see the business opportunity, they fill the gap and so forth and so on. But the last year has been a real struggle to find sufficient amounts of capacity. We've been successful. And most of the folks we know in the business have been successful finding that, but it's not been inexpensive. Hmm. So, I think that, coupled with the tremendous challenge we have on capacity for truck power, is really defining the runaway costs that we see in the supply chain. Now, the good thing about air freight is it is more advanced on the information side than it is on the ocean side. The
U.S. government doesn't like any loosey-goosiness on in air cargo world.
You're exactly right. And so the reality is that the opportunity for sharing information and really collecting data and being able to react to information on the air side is better than it is on the ocean side. But it still opens it up for a ubiquitous opportunity to look at information for all modes of transport. And I can say that even down to rail, which is a critical part of our supply chains across this country and across the world, even that is an opportunity for consolidation of information and sharing of data.
So I'll circle back on one final point here, John. Appreciate your time again today. So we were talking earlier, an igloo cooler sells literally every 1.6 seconds. That's right. Remarkable. So that's a very difficult supply chain. I can only imagine the modernization, the optimization, how difficult of a challenge that is. So we'll remember that next time each of my three kids grab a juice box out of our three igloo coolers we have right there in Walton County, Georgia. But let's talk about, you're talking about rail. We all know sitting here that rail is a big part and a big advantage for the Georgia supply chain infrastructure. So let's talk about why Atlanta was the right place to have the headquarters of American Global Logistics here.
Well, I mean, it's, we're not the only ones that think it's a great place. I mean, it is a fantastic place to do business, and it's clearly the natural, southeast gateway to everything related to trade. I mean, we have the airport, we have Savannah port, we have great rail access, we have tremendous highway access. It's a natural place to build a logistics hub. And so for us, there was little choice. Of course, the folks that started the business were from here, so that made it a natural thing. Mm. And we also have, the advantage of having regional activities around Georgia, including Virginia and so forth. So it's just a regional hub that's very, very, very vital. And I can't imagine that. Given the innovation that's occurring so fast in the state of Georgia through our universities, through our various access to technologies, where that's going to slow down. I think Savannah has been leading the charge in terms of ports. When I was running the Port of Long Beach, we were always looking at Savannah and said, geez, they really do a good job, and it was kind of it spurred us on to do even better things, even though we were a much larger port. They were flexible. They were agile. They were able to make decisions. They were able to introduce new technologies very, very fast. And that's what really Atlanta region's about, is making decisions collectively, very quickly, very effectively. And it's really fun to be here.
Now, are you able to attract the talent you need?
We have been able to. I know that's probably a little counterintuitive, but we've been very fortunate to attract tremendous talent, men and women, in equal numbers to our team. We're about
equal numbers. Elbow, did you get that?
I did.
Yeah,
50%. Yeah, show me 50%. You already have.
You just have to come by our office and you can see it. But you know, we have a very large operations center in Virginia, and it's fantastic. It's equally represented, and they're all technical jobs. So we're very pleased with the talent. Now, admittedly, we were able to attract talent, you know, into the logistics space from industries that we serve that were declining. So as jobs declined, there was opportunities on our side for a broader logistics play. So we took people, we were able to cross-train them, cross-develop it. It was transferable skills in many cases. So they just came. And it's been very, very fortunate for us to be able to attract that kind of talent.
So clearly one reason that Atlanta is America's supply chain city. So a dollar over to Jamie Rantz for branding that. She's got t-shirts. is American Global Logistics, who's headquartered here, a proud member of the supply chain city. And if you want to learn more about what AGL does to move supply chains forward, check out the website at AmericanGlobalLogistics.com. And again, John, looking forward to all your perspective at the Georgia Logistics Summit.
Thank you.
So reason number 4,327 to come out to the summit. So thank you, John. Okay. So next on Supply Chain Now Radio, we're really pleased to be featuring Trey Clausen, Director of Customer Solutions at Flexport. Good morning, Trey.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So for those of you that may not know, all three of you, Flexport is a supply chain powerhouse resource that's really on the move with explosive growth. So, you know, leading off, Trey, I'm always curious about kind of your journey to get to this point to be, you know, part of a cutting edge supply chain provider and services and technology provider. Talk about your background.
Yeah, for sure. So I have a non-traditional background for logistics, which seems to be the traditional background. Mm-hmm. So in school, I studied philosophy, which is definitely not what most people study when coming into this world. But I was very fascinated by international trade. And I went to school at Furman University in South Carolina. So I was right in the backyard of BMW.
The fighting paladins.
Exactly. Purple paladins. So I was right in the backyard of BMW manufacturing. And I saw how important BMW was to the local economy in Greenville and in South Carolina overall. And I knew that I wanted to play a part in that in some way. I didn't know what that looked like. So I sought out different companies in the area and was fortunate enough to snatch on with a freight forwarder. I'd never heard of that term until I interviewed with them. Snatched on with a freight forwarder that was providing services, air freight services for BMW. We managed the air freight supply chain out of Germany for them. And I just became immediately fascinated with the entire world. And I was fortunate thereafter to join another freight forwarder, a large freight forwarder here in Atlanta, where I managed and led a team that were account managers for the largest brands in the Southeast. And so throughout the course of my time with that freight forwarder, I was able to access the leading minds of these companies. And we did an excellent job of serving the brands, but there was always a disconnect between what the customers were truly expecting and wanting to transform their businesses and what the technology enabled that vision to come to bear. And so a number of us in the industry thought, okay, that there must be a better way, but that there are just significant barriers to entry in the logistics world. It's extremely expensive. It's highly regulated. So it's extremely challenging. So I didn't expect that there would be many startups that would come into the space. However, Flexport came in to be around 2014, 2015, and our customers started to ask about what Flexport was doing. I at that point had not heard of them, and as customers start saying, "Okay, we're considering moving over to this other company," it bears a reason that they should investigate them. Flexport has just experienced explosive growth in the last few years as we've been seeking to transform the global supply chain. And so just to tie it all together. I went to Georgia Tech to understand innovation and to understand operations and the application to the physical world and the applying technology to the business world And not just creating different technologies like social media applications. I found that's really going to unlock a lot of value in the global economy, enabling the physical world to be transformed and to add extra value in the technological world.
So as we all know, our good friends over at Georgia Tech, they're a big piece of the talent equation, which makes Atlanta such a great supply chain capital, world-class supply chain management institution. So to really go out there and earn business on the global business landscape, technology is a big player, and clearly exactly. Flexport's doing some really neat things from a supply chain technology standpoint. But before we dive into what Flexport's doing, talk about some of the hot technology subjects, items going on in supply chain now.
Yeah, for sure. So the major trend in the supply chain world is digitization. So it's making the supply chain digital. The way that we view this at Flexport is really making the physical world digital. So the three trends that I'm going to talk about this morning are Internet of Things, so IoT, autonomous trucking, and predictive analytics. So you mentioned earlier the sensors, so Internet of Things. A number of customers, they not only want to understand when their cargo will arrive to its final destination, but they want to be able to understand what's happening to that cargo while it's in transit, whether it's ocean freight, air freight, or trucking. And so Internet of Things, it enables our customers to understand exactly where their cargo is. So this is specifically applicable to high value cargo that's extremely expensive. It's very important to know where those goods are, because that's important to their bottom line. Furthermore, it understands temperature information. So this is applicable to industries like pharmaceuticals and various other food groups and things like that. And also, you mentioned L.L. Bean earlier, too. It temperature can have an impact on finished goods as well. And there's just so many other applications to the Internet of Things. And so we've seen application where various sensors are applied to, whether it's a container, a CFR container, or actually put into a box or put onto an actual finished product.
Depending on what level of accuracy and visibility they're
looking at.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. And so... So that gives the extra layer of understanding of what's happening to that material, because that has an impact on the final product.
I was hoping that sensor technology gets really inexpensive so I can put it on all my kids' shoes, who they lose week in and week out. So moving past digitization, autonomous trucking, let's talk more about that. We talked about the driver
exactly.
shortage. Let's talk about kind of where does that stand? How soon are we going to see driverless trucks on 285 here in Atlanta?
Yeah. So the technology exists in varying degrees right now. It's whether the autonomous trucks can have existence in with regulations. And so Flexport actually has purchased one of Tesla's first semis. When Elon Musk announced that Tesla was manufacturing semis, Flexport was one of the first companies to purchase one. Our CEO bought it on a cell phone. So it kind of stands, or it demonstrates where we are in this world with the supply chain, that you can buy a truck on your cell phone.
So next time we have you here, you're going to be on a rocket?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's actually how I got here.
Oh, so. Really?
Well, when you say autonomous, can you define that? Like, does that mean there's no driver at all? Is the driver in another seat? Like, what does autonomous mean?
Yeah, so it means that the truck is able to maneuver itself. And so there's typically a trucker that's in the truck, but he doesn't have to necessarily, he or she does not necessarily have to be actively engaged.
They could be watching Netflix.
Yes, they could be watching Netflix or resting or whatever the case may be.
And the truck is driving to the destination, like making turns, or is it only just staying on the highway and like going straight?
Yeah, so right now the technology that exists, that it's typically on highway, and so the truckers are engaging when you're having to maneuver the truck more specifically, so making turns, making deliveries, backing in.
So it's not getting off at an exit, waiting at a red light, turning down and...
Yeah, not yet. Yeah, yeah. So it stands to reason that the technology will get to that point. But I think that the biggest hurdle there is really the regulation. But the problem that it's solving is a tremendously important problem in the supply chain world, because as we mentioned earlier, there's a significant shortage of drivers, about 900,000. And specifically, within this year, there's been a mandate, the ELD mandate, that it electronically logs the hours for truck drivers. And so it it has significantly reduced the overall capacity in the market.
Yep.
In different areas, it's between 5% and 33%. So that means that it's driving costs up significantly if you can get a trucker. And in some cases, shipments are being delayed because truckers are not available.
And then, but this period of time they're driving on the highway, that's the vast amount of time.
Yes, right? Exactly.
So like if it's 0 to 100 is 100 is all their time, what percentage of time is it like highway driving where autonomous?
Yeah. So people... like you said, the most significant aspect of the transit is really the highway. And so I would say that it's between 75% and 90% depending on where it's going.
So then if we can be okay with or be comfortable, that this is again a human problem, right, John? That
right.
Humans are always getting in the way of these things. We just have to wrap our heads around that we're okay with this.
Yes.
Right? Because
yeah, exactly.
The technology is there for it to happen. We just have to kind of mentally be okay.
We must convince Lee Cantor.
Well, you don't have to convince me. I'm on board too. But it's because the truck can drive itself
exactly.
for 80% of the time. And then we can take that kind of mental burden off of the trucker.
Right.
So they don't have to be like awake and paying attention.
Yes. Yeah. And so it really is the regulation piece that people become comfortable with trucks that are driving themselves.
So, so fascinating topic. And I can only imagine how this can address some of the biggest challenges we have in supply chain. So looking forward to hopefully getting that adopted and seeing some of the technology. It's really neat that Flexport is teaming up with Tesla and experimenting with that whole innovation. So let's touch on real quickly, clean big data, which is a really neat theme that John and Elba and Trey and I, we were talking about in kind of the bullpen session.
Right.
Talk more about that.
Yeah. So really for a long time, we have had big data. We've had large swaths of data available to us, but for the most part, it has not been clean. So in the supply chain world, it's been missing timestamps, events that are transpiring over the course of cargo moving. But now, Flexport especially, but across the board, we have clean data where we're actually able to tell our customers what has happened with their supply chain, what is happening. And then now that we have this big clean data, we are working to provide what will happen. So the predictive analytics piece. And so not just looking at a backwards view of a supply chain, but understanding with some degree of certainty what will happen in the supply chain so that you can do risk mitigation. That's a significant part of the supply chain world is understanding risk and mitigating that risk. So we will...
Big topic.
Yeah.
Big
so
topic.
So we will be able to provide services that can give some degree of predictability of an event occurring. And if it doesn't occur, then there can be discounts associated with that.
So on that note, moving into some of the ways that Flexport helps customers, because it probably there's some common threads between some of the technology topics you've talked about. Let's talk about how you help customers. And what are some of the challenges that your team is taking on to help customers solve their problems and ideally grow their business more profitably?
Right, exactly. So as you mentioned earlier, Flexport is a full-service freight forwarder and customs broker. So we do what the traditional freight forwarders do. We're just enabled by technology. If you look at the top 25 freight forwarders, none of them existed before the advent of the internet. So it's extremely challenging to build an operating system, a world around new technology. And so Flexport is that freight forwarder that's enabled by technology. Our mission is to fix the user experience in global trade. And so that's an extremely lofty goal, but it's an inspiring one because we believe that if we're successful, we will make trade more free, more seamless, and easier. And anytime that you can make something that is the foundation of the global economy easier and more affordable, it has a significant impact on the world. And so that mission really drives every day what we're doing, and it excites us, it motivates us to perform for our customers. And so I am largely responsible for, here in Atlanta, dealing with the largest brands that the Flexport is engaging with. So,
like Supply Chain Now Radio?
Yeah, exactly. So the customers that I'm working directly with are Bridgestone and Georgia Pacific, located here in the Southeast. And so the challenges that we're solving with them, it's a large global transformation effort, where they want to understand what's specifically occurring in their supply chain. They want to understand the exceptions that are occurring, and they want to utilize our technology to eliminate the waste throughout the course of their supply chain. So it's understanding that the technology needs, but then applying our service model to that as well. And we look at total cost of ownership and not just cost of transactions. And so that's I think that's a really important piece here is looking at the total cost of ownership throughout the supply chain and not just what does it cost to move a container from point A to point B. And
big picture, looking at the big picture.
Exactly, yeah. And so if we can provide data on what is happening and we can provide predictive capabilities of what will happen in the supply chain, then we can have that global transformation effort. And the way that we view our technology is not that it's eliminating people or eliminating jobs, but more so it's enabling the folks that are working, that are the logistics experts, to be able to work firsthand on solving problems as opposed to just entering data and understanding what's happening in the supply chain. And so it's enabling us to level up and become more value-added and consultative in designing supply chain solutions.
And Trey, we could probably spend several hours with both Flexport and AGL in terms of all the different ways they're helping customers. But you're going to be on the panel at the Georgia Logistics Summit. You're moderating the Technology Disruptors panel, which seems very fitting.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I forgot to mention earlier, I wanted to point out too, that we have recently announced that we are moving into new office space in Atlanta, in Midtown Atlanta. And so we have seen that our customers have experience, or that our customers are demanding our services and what we have to offer. And so we're expanding into smaller business segments and our mid-market segments here in Atlanta. So we'll be able to not only serve the Atlanta market, but we'll be able to serve the Southeast as well. And so we see that Atlanta is such a significant piece to the supply chain world. And we want to be able to be a big part of the transformation effort here.
Yeah, they're working on autonomous radio hosting.
I will be replaced very soon. I'll be the first one.
So going back to the Georgia Logistics Summit. So I will be moderating the Tech Disruptors panel there. And so the topics that we'll discuss, and this is the third year for the panel in its existence. And the topics that we'll discuss are trends that are impacting either the shipper supply chain or logistics service providers. So it'll be our panelists will present for 10 to 15 minutes on whatever topic they choose. So whether it's Internet of Things, predictive analytics, autonomous trucking, blockchain, et cetera. And then we'll have a moderated discussion for about an hour on those various topics and how they are impacting the supply chain world.
So Business Radio X charged us with bringing in, Business Radio X charged us with bringing in the rock and roll stars of the supply chain industry. And we are delivering today. We've got John, Trey, and Elba, who all are going to be big parts of the Georgia Logistics Summit. So, hey, Liam, we're trying to make our a good deliverable.
Hitting it out of the park.
That's right. So, Trey, really appreciate you stepping in and sharing some perspective. I wish we had more time to spend on all the different things Flexport's doing. But you're hiring left and right.
Yes.
So not only if you want to learn more about what Flexport is doing, all the neat things, cutting edge things, but check them out. Check out their job listings at flexport.com.
Yes,
very
correct.
Simple.
Yeah, so we are heavily recruiting. Our team is rapidly expanding. So if you're the smartest person you know, please come join us.
So you're looking for all those philosophy majors out
exactly.
there, right?
Yeah, people that think creatively.
Great. Trey Clausen, thank you for joining us from Flexport. Appreciate that. Okay, so finally, our cleanup hitter today on Supply Chain Now Radio is the incomparable Elba Pareja Gallagher, founder of Show Me 50 and chair of our APICS Atlanta Gender Gap Task Force. Good morning, Elba.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you as always. So our audience should know this by now. We feature Elba or one of the talented Show Me 50 team members to share their high performance minute each and every month. And this is designed to share best practices for how we can all be more effective business leaders and how we can be better advocates and practitioners of inclusive leadership, providing opportunities for all, right?
That's right.
So what are we going to be talking about today, Elba?
So I thought we'd talk about leadership in logistics. We've been talking about some buzzwords that I'm going to play back to you. I heard agility, tech disruptors, digitization, data, technology, and sharing of information, innovation. And those are all things that are really hitting the workforce and how leaders have to adapt to really capture the power of that workforce. And so what's happening is that people want to work differently and they want to be led differently. And so I thought we'd spend a few minutes talking about how we as leaders have to adapt our leadership style to do that. One thing I read about recently, a new buzzword is clusters. So clusters are groups of basically self-governed employees. We may be contracting out more work. I know we're seeing that trend, right? That companies are trying to reduce their employee fixed costs by using a lot of more contracted work. And so those those folks are going to be working with internal employees and having to manage themselves on how to create innovative output. And so to manage that type of environment is really disrupting our traditional power structure, right? We're used to hierarchical, vertical levels of power versus now we're looking at more of a distributed wisdom type of power.
The cheese is being moved. Right?
That's right.
It's flatter, right?
It is absolutely flatter. And again, power is more distributed rather than concentrated mm-hmm. straight up the chain, right? And so we're having to figure out how to work in that world. You also have people who want to have more flexible, not only physical working environments, but the way we communicate, right? It's changing. And so how are we adapting to that? One way is that we have to be more inclusive. We have to motivate employees in different ways. And a lot of times they need to see people like themselves leading them to really feel like they're being heard.
Some of the modeling that John was talking about in the bullpen session.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, I throw it out back to you guys here. You know, how can we adapt? And what are you seeing? How are you adapting? Maybe you can give us a sense of what's going on in your workforce in terms of diversity.
For sure. So we have 55 employees here with Flexport in Atlanta, and we are really proud to say that of those 55 people, 45% are women and 40% are minorities. And so it's been a really concentrated effort for us in the recruiting to ensure that we are recruiting in non-traditional areas, to ensure that we are recruiting the best and the brightest. So we don't necessarily need someone that has a logistics or a supply chain background, but really we want to have the person that is the best suited to learn, understand what we're doing, be creative and solve problems. And so we're very excited to say that we have 45% women, and we want that number to continue increasing across the board as we grow in Atlanta.
And John, how about in your industry at AGL? How is your workforce adapting, and how are your leadership teams adapting?
Yeah, it's been really an interesting a couple of years for the company. We have about a 50-50 split between women and men in our organization. And in the last year, we've been able to attract women into the most senior ranks of the company. So, and those have been, like Trey's talking about, non-traditional types of backgrounds where they've come in and they've got solid business backgrounds and have been able to adapt very quickly to our environment. But you have to make those accommodations. You really have to allow people to look at transferable skills, not just explicit skills in a specific function. So you really have to be a little more flexible in how you look at candidates for jobs, and you have to clearly encourage that opportunity for minorities and women to move into these what has long been a male-dominated environment. So things have changed. Companies like AGL, companies like Flexport are really pushing that envelope, pushing that paradigm about where you find talent, how you develop the talent, and in fact, paying big dividends. Because in my experience, when you have a diverse workforce, you have much better decision-making.
That's right. A lot more innovation, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think, John, you bring up a great point, which is what can we all do to go back and identify hidden talent and influence adoption of new jobs and new tasks, training. APIX does such a great job in terms of certification and helping people get the technical skills they need. But sponsoring women and people different from you in terms of coaching them and encouraging them to try new things and take risks, I think is so important. And really, organizations have got to up their game on risk taking if they're trying to uncover those hidden innovations that can really drive profitable performance.
And make it deliberate, like Flexport was talking about earlier.
That's right. Right.
Yeah, and
that's
also exactly right. Women have to be open to the idea that this is a path as well.
That's exactly right. And I think it helps, when you do have women in leadership positions and they're out and about. We're going to see a lot of women at the Georgia Logistics Summit on panels, and seeing that, then other women think, wow, okay, well, maybe I can do that too.
Yeah, I'd like to point out too that we recently hired someone that was working in the nonprofit world. They were working for an NGO, and they were traveling the world. Every 2 months, they would move to a different country. And but in each of these countries, they were responsible for managing the service work that they were performing with each of the locations they were going to. And so we were able to identify that though this person did not have logistics background, they didn't have business background, they had for 2 years been managing an account relationship in different countries or across the world. And so we can teach that person how to understand the supply chain, but they'd know intuitively how to manage relationships.
Trey, that's a fantastic example, right? That we have to open our mind when we're looking at resumes and who we know and going outside of our comfort zone.
Yep. And that'd be good, Elba, maybe that was a woman that was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That you connect with her to get that story so we can tell that story, because that's an important opportunity for other people to say, look, I have the skill, but I've never heard of supply. I don't even know what that means, but there could be a ton of opportunity if I can transfer those skills.
That's a great success story to highlight.
And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the things we're trying to do with Supply Chain Now Radio. Elba's been a terrific advocate, as we want to put a spotlight on these stories of women doing big things in supply chain, logistics, and manufacturing. So really appreciate all of your efforts and our continued partnership, Elba. So when is the next Show Me 50 event?
That's right. So we have what we call Lean In Circles, where we bring men and women together to have some conversations about trends going on in the workforce and how we can improve our leadership skills to adapt to the changing workforce. And our next meeting is the third Monday in March, which is the 19th. So,
And we want to
find information on our website, showme50.org.
Yeah, I love simple URLs. Showme50.org, flexport.org, AmericanGlobalLogistics.com, or flexport.com.
We have flexport.org and flexport.com, but if you want a job, flexport.com.
All right. So thank you for joining us, Elba, as always, and appreciate everything you're doing to make us all better at what we do. So we're going to close on a few items here. Again, special thanks to John and to Trey and to Elba for being here and taking time out of their very busy schedules. Of course, the common theme, one of them today is the Georgia Logistics Summit, April 9th through the 12th at the Georgia World Congress Center. Go to georgia.org for more information there. All three of our guests will be playing a role in that 4 days of great programming. We're excited on Supply Chain Now Radio to be featuring Jack Allen of Cisco and Matt Markham, with the new director of the Georgia Centers of Innovation for Logistics, on the March episode next month. So look for that. Stay tuned. Tyler Daniels, a TCA, a Transportation Club of Atlanta board member, an Apex Atlanta board member, mayor of the city of Atlanta, soon to be, and of course, a proud Flexporter. He wanted to make sure we reminded our audience about the great dinner that TCA is holding on March 1st, featuring a couple supply chain heavy hitters, Chris Gaffney, who's a senior executive with the Coca-Cola company, George Richter, who's a senior supply chain leader with Cox Communications, will be the keynote speakers on that March 1st dinner meeting. And you can learn more at transportationclubofatlanta.com. That's March 1st. I want to thank our sponsors as always. Well, before I thank our sponsors, we need volunteers. So we are continuing our Supply Chain 101 programming into elementary schools, where we're spending time talking supply chain with fourth and fifth graders. Our next two presentations will be March 5th and March 6th at Tritt Elementary in Marietta, Georgia. We've got a team of volunteers booked for March 5th, but we need volunteers for the afternoon of March 6th. We need two or three more volunteers. So to our audience, if you're interested, send us a note to info@apexatlanta.org. So finally, thanks to our sponsors. So Apex Atlanta is a premier industry association focused on the end-to-end supply chain space. You get education, professional development, networking, and more provided by this almost 60-year-old Atlanta institution. So learn more at apexatlanta.org. And of course, TalentStream, firm that specializes in helping companies find premier talent in the engineering, manufacturing, and supply chain space. You can learn more at talentstreamstaffing.com. So on that note, if your company is interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me at info@apexatlanta.org. Lee, what did we miss today?
Well, if you know any interesting guests that are in supply chain, they should reach out to you as well, right, Scott? We're always looking for those stories of people doing amazing things.
Great point. And one last comment on our end. We really, we're reaching out to try to feature more women in supply chain, manufacturing, logistics roles. We want to put a spotlight on those stories. To your point exactly, as a father of two daughters, we want to model that behavior and make sure that that everyone knows there's something for everybody in supply chain.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Scott, for putting this show together. Supply Chain Now Radio, like Scott said, is brought to you by Apex Atlanta and TalentStream. And this is Lee Cantor for our producer, Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio and Supply Chain Now Radio.